Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 392, being recorded on December 22nd of the year 2002. This program will be a half hour in length. Its title is Desert Flowers, The Bushes of Arabia. Before I begin, let me remind you that there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record 392 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website within a week or so of the airing of this program. In this case, due to the holiday, which is up, it might be as long as the end of the year, but it'll be up there soon. Also, that, by the way, the Spitfire website is at spitfirelist.com. And also, sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, has been archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery, and older programs are available for download only at a longer URL linked to both the Spitfire website and to the WFMU.org website. Now, the reference in the title of the program, again, Desert Flowers, The Bushes of Arabia, is to the strong connections between the Bush family and the economic interests that they represent, in this case chiefly the petroleum industry, and also those American and also international business interests that have recycled petrodollars invested in them. These economic relationships are of very significant importance in connection with September 11th and related matters. I also think that one should be careful not to oversimplify the nature of these relationships. To make a very long story very short, as I've said in the past, it is the structural economic relationships that in many ways are the vehicle for the realization of conspiratorial processes. I've discussed this in, among other shows, For the Record 365, 366, 367, and 372. Rather like a mosquito that carries malaria, the mosquito is not biting somebody to give them malaria, but rather it is in the course of that structural relationship between the mosquito's mouthparts and the victim that the disease organism is transmitted and the infection occurs. In connection with September 11th, I think one should bear some of these things in mind. I don't think George W. Bush himself is anything more than basically a crowd pleaser, sort of Marlboro Man light, but rather the economic interests that are embodied in him are of paramount importance in understanding at one level the relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia, and at another level the economic relationships underlying what I have termed the underground Reich. And that is a more complex relationship and a more complex process than might be readily apparent. Again, I refer listeners not only to the WFMU audio archives, but to Spitfire and the lectures and archive shows that they have available for a very nominal fee that I don't get money out of, and from which I do not derive profit, let me put it that way. And also, the long, detailed, annotated descriptions that are available for free on the Spitfire website. Now, to the subject of Desert Flowers, The Bushes of Arabia, we're going to take a look at some complex relationships between the Bush milieu and some of the petroleum-related, petrodollar-connected business interests that are at the foundation of the events in and around September 11th. Fascinating article appeared on the front page of the business section of the New York Times on Thursday, December 19th of 2002. This article is by Anthony DePalma and Diana B. Enriquez. It's headlined, Lawsuit Says Del Monte Sale Was Rigged. And this is a reference to a lawsuit and criminal investigation that is taking place with regard to the equity purchase in Fresh Del Monte Produce. This, in turn, was accomplished by the Palestinian company of Mohammed Abu Ghazaleh, who now is located in Chile. And, in turn, among the investors in this complex business deal was Khalid bin Mahfouz, who appears to have been on the short end of this particular arrangement. And also one wants to note former President Salinas de Gortari of Mexico. In For the Record 281, we noted the complex business relationships between the Bush milieu and the Salinas milieu in Mexico through the energy business, among other things. One of the names that you're going to hear in connection with this complex and very unsavory piece of fruit, strange fruit, I guess, would be a good subtitle for this article, and that is the name of Marvin Bush. That's George W.'s younger brother. Again, New York Times, 12/19/2002, front page of the business section. Lawsuit says Del Monte sale was rigged. Anthony DePalma and Diana B. Enriquez write in part as follows. Early in 1996, a Mexican investment group with ties to the government received several preliminary bids, some worth more than $250 million, to acquire the equity of Fresh Del Monte Produce, the global grower of bananas, pineapples, and other fruits and vegetables. But just as the investors, who had taken control after their original chairman had become a fugitive, were about to close a deal, the group's board abruptly sold Del Monte to a little-known company run by Palestinians for a much lower price. The terms were so unfavorable, a number of minority investors thought at the time, that they tried unsuccessfully to block the sale. A lawsuit filed in a Miami court yesterday by seven private and corporate minority investors includes allegations that may shed light on why Del Monte was sold for so much less than it seemed to be worth. The suit accuses Mohammed Abu Ghazaleh and his Palestinian company, the IAT Group, of bribing Eduardo R. Burs, B-O-U-R-S, a powerful Mexican politician who was chairman of the investment group and an important member of the country's ruling party, to rig the sale in their favor. The lawsuit is based in part on the affidavit of an executive who worked closely with Mr. Burs and who has evidence of a curious payment of $321,000 that ended up in Mr. Burs's bank account after the sale was completed. The suit contends that the amount represents just a portion of a payoff that Mr. Burs received to help the Abu Ghazaleh's buy Del Monte at bargain rates. Skipping down after pro forma denials of any wrongdoing. Still, the allegations of bribery and fraud may cause trouble for Fresh Del Monte Produce, which is incorporated in the Cayman Islands and listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Last month, rumors about another suit challenging the 1996 sale as fraudulent were enough to batter Del Monte's stock. Trading was halted for an afternoon after the stock tumbled by more than $5 to $20.75 a share. The stock stabilized after the company denied all the charges, but it has languished since below $20. And note the following paragraph about one of the many people involved with this. Note also, by the way, the Cayman Islands Incorporation of this parent company. And while there is no evidence against him, it could also prove awkward for Marvin P. Bush, a younger brother of the president who has been on Del Monte's board since 1998. Marvin Bush is not mentioned in the suit, and he had no connection to the company at the time of the 1996 sale. He did not return several phone calls seeking comment. Most of all, the suit opens a new chapter in the bizarre recent history of Del Monte, dating to even before its acquisition in 1992 by Carlos Cabal Peniche, P-E-N-I-C-H-E, the fugitive chairman. At that time, associates say, Mr. Cabal turned into a spiritual advisor to come up with a unique bid that invoked the Mayan spirits of his home state, Tabasco, in southern Mexico. The advisor, the Reverend Jacques Chevrier, urged Mr. Cabal to make an offer with as many fives as possible because that number is a figure of fortune in Mayan legend. His associates say Mr. Cabal, by the way, that's a great name, great last name for somebody involved in an alleged conspiracy, Mr. Cabal. Beginning again, his associates say Mr. Cabal was ecstatic when the seller accepted his preliminary bid of $555,555,555.55 for Del Monte, one of the world's most recognizable brand names. The purchase fit right into the plans of President Carlos Salinas de Gortari, who was busy trying to modernize Mexico's old economy and reform its agricultural sector. Buying Del Monte was seen as a way to give Mexican produce instant global recognition. The government provided special financing to a group of 150 Mexican investors led by Mr. Cabal, a shrimp exporter who had already purchased two Mexican banks with government support. Skipping down, the Fresh Produce Division was purchased in 1989 by Polypec International, a conglomerate run by Asil Nadir, a financier. But allegations of fraud and financial irregularities called Polypec to collapse, and Del Monte Produce was put up for sale again in 1992. But in 1994, Mr. Cabal, bleeding cash, was charged with bank fraud. When he fled Mexico, the government seized the company, skipping down again. The lawsuit claims that their bids became moot as soon as the IAT group entered the picture. This after referring to other bidders for this particular company. But the lawsuit claims that their bids became moot as soon as the IAT group entered the picture. IAT, the third largest fruit exporter in Chile, was controlled by the Abu Ghazaleh family, Palestinians from Jerusalem with business interests in the Middle East. Mohammed Abu Ghazaleh, the current chairman of Fresh Del Monte Produce, had planted the family's flag in Chile in the 1980s, taking advantage of Chile's seasonal counterbalance to North America. And the article goes on to describe the financial relationships involved with this particular purchase. And again, it certainly looks very strange in terms of the maneuvering. One of the other investors here is of more than passing interest, skipping down. Del Monte also faces a threatened suit by Eastbrook Caribe, an offshore investment company owned by Sheikh Khalid bin Mahfouz, a Saudi banker who financed many of Mr. Cabal's acquisitions in the late 1980s. In that suit, which set off market rumors about Del Monte, Eastbrook claims that there was conspiracy and securities fraud that invalidated the 1996 sale. And the article goes on to voice disclaimers by the representatives for Del Monte. Note again that Mr. Cabal was financed in considerable measure, or many of his business ventures financed by Khalid bin Mahfouz. He is one of the business partners through the oil and recycled reinvested petrodollar milieu of the Bush family. Among their ventures are Busto Energy. Khalid bin Mahfouz is also connected to BCCI and through that to the milieu of Harkin Energy. And I would also note that Khalid bin Mahfouz is married to Osama bin Laden's sister, and bin Mahfouz is an individual whose name has cropped up in connection with a number of the September 11th related investigations. He's also a major investor in the Carlyle Group, another of the recycled, reinvested petrodollar connections between the Bush milieu and the milieu of the very powerful bin Laden family. And again, I would stress that one should not oversimplify some of these relationships. Yet another interesting exemplar of the types of capital relationships, the reinvested, recycled petrodollars that have given the Saudi milieu a tremendous amount of clout in the United States, apart from the oil per se, but simply through the tremendous profits that have been generated by the petroleum business and the recycling of those dollars and the reinvestment of those dollars into the American economy. This has given tremendous clout to many of the Saudi elite, and in turn, they have strong connections to the Bush family milieu. Many of the connections that devolve around September 11th or revolve around September 11th involve this milieu. And I would point out that a dozen members of the bin Laden family were flown out of the United States on September 12th before they could be questioned by the FBI. I do not think that George Bush, for example, George W. Bush, personally ordered September 11th, as some have maintained in the conspiracy community, to coin a term. But nonetheless, that would constitute on Bush's part obstruction of justice, even if the members of the bin Laden family that were flown out of the U.S. were not involved in September 11th. Many of the members of the bin Laden family were, but they were flown out of the U.S. before they could be questioned by the FBI. And that, folks, is obstruction of justice and conspiracy. Don't hold your breath to expect Bush to be impeached or convicted on any of those things. Nonetheless, I think at least in part some of Bush's reticence to investigate September 11th comes from the tremendously entangling business connections that Bush and his milieu have to the Saudi elite. Exemplary of those connections and the kind of pull that they can exert is an article from the Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, December 11th of 2002. This article was jointly authored by Evan Perez and Christina Binkley, B-I-N-K-L-E-Y. It's headlined, Saudi Families Project Unravels in Florida Over Terrorist Fears. It's datelined Kissimmee, Florida, K-I-S-S-I-M-M-E, and it reads in part as follows. A $100 million convention center and hotel project proposed by a prominent Saudi family has sunk under the weight of tenuous allegations of ties to possible funding for terrorist organizations, a sign of the tense times Saudi business interests face in the United States. Osceola County, near Orlando, is close to making a deal with Zentury City Development Company. Zentury, by the way, is capital X-E-N-T-U-R-Y, not to be confused with Century City. Beginning again, Osceola County, near Orlando, was close to making a deal with Zentury City Development Company to build a 500,000-square-foot convention center and 1,000-room hotel, one of the largest such developments in the works since the September 11, 2001 attacks. However, local fears that the wealthy Alireza family, A-L-I-R-E-Z-A, backers of the project, may somehow have even indirect ties to Osama bin Laden, stirred up a furor in this fast-growing region. The uproar was fueled by a hotel labor union that opposed Zentury City. Local officials voted late Monday to abandon talks with Zentury City and turn to another developer, Landmark Organization Incorporated of Austin, Texas. The Alireza family has been developing real estate near Disney World in the Orlando area for 20 years, even donating land to build a major expressway to ease access to the theme park. But that track record wasn't enough to surmount the terrorism fears raised by a hotel union's disclosure that Abdullah Alireza, the family patriarch, was a director in a Saudi bank that, through a subsidiary, held an interest in a Sudanese bank that the U.S. government says was used by Osama bin Laden. We're going to talk more about the Sudanese bank and an organization called the DMI later on in the program. This is not to implicate necessarily Mr. Alireza, but certainly that family and the bin Laden family are part of the same economic milieu. The Bush family are part of that, the American end of that same milieu. Continuing, skipping down. Zentury's parent company, Zenel Corporation of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, is a holding company for some of the businesses of the Alireza family, which has interests ranging from petroleum and telecommunications to shipping and real estate. The Alireza's experience in Florida could portend the tougher times ahead for Middle Eastern business interests in the U.S. as the September 11th backlash continues to reverberate. Skipping down again. In the case of Zentury City Project, the furor arose with revelations that Abdullah Alireza is a director in Dar al-Mal al-Islami Trust, or DMI Trust of Saudi Arabia, which through a subsidiary held an interest in Al-Shamal Bank of Sudan. U.S. State Department officials have alleged Osama bin Laden has used that Sudanese bank to funnel funds to terrorist causes. Families of the victims of the September 11, 2001 attacks have put the DMI Trust on their list of defendants in a trillion-dollar lawsuit seeking damages from those alleged to have helped the terrorists. A lawyer for the victims' family says he wants to depose Mr. Alireza as part of discovery in his lawsuit, although he is not a defendant. In a letter to county commissioners, the lawyer suggested that should the lawsuit succeed, he would try to go after any assets of any defendants. That raised fears among county officials that they could end up sharing a liability should any terror allegations be proved. Skipping down, note who went to bat for Abdullah Alireza and Zentury City. Skipping down. And note also, this article is from Wednesday, December 11th. In For the Record 290, Political Plate Tectonics, I noted the maneuverings in connection with Saudi capital that preceded, by a matter of a few days, the resignation of former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who executed the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids, which bagged a number of institutions and individuals linked to not only the Saudi petrodollar milieu, but to the Bush business milieu, and through that to the Al-Taqwa Al-Qaeda milieu and the milieu of the Muslim Brotherhood, about which we will have more to say later in the program. So note that this article was, well, it's dated December 11th. It refers to things that took place a few days prior to that. This is in the very same time period that O'Neill called it quits. More about that in For the More references in For the Record 390. Skipping down and continuing. At a packed meeting late Monday in Kissimmee, commissioners listened to impassioned pleas from opponents, replete with patriotic references to September 11th and the victims of the terrorist attacks. Paul Owen, the county commission chairman, says he received a call in recent days from the office of Florida Governor Jeb Bush with a message from the governor and the White House asking commission members to dismiss geopolitical concerns from their debate. But the September 11th issue couldn't be ignored. That again from the Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, December 11th. That was right up front on page C9. I've seen no other references to this particular story. And again, the time period when that call from Governor Bush and in turn the White House came was right in the time period when the events that I discuss in For the Record 390 took place. I would also note that Henry Kissinger has resigned as head of the, quote, independent, unquote, commission investigating September 11th. Now, note again the situation of DMI and, in turn, its relationship with a Sudanese bank. And also note that Khalid bin Mahfouz, one of the investors in the complex Fresh Del Monte produce imbroglio that I began the program with, note that these are all part of the same economic milieu as, on the one hand, the Bushes, and on the other, the milieu of the bin Laden family and the recycled petroleum wealth of Saudi Arabia. This article is by Lucy Commissar, whose excellent work I've accessed in the past. I interviewed Ms. Commissar in For the Record program number 387. This article is from In These Times issue of, and let me get the very end of the article and get the precise date. This is from In These Times, and it is the most recent issue. And I'm going to have to give you the date. I will give the URL later on in the program, but this is from In These Times, the most recent issue, as I'm speaking on December 22nd. And this is article is called Funding Terror, subtitled Investigating the Role of Saudi Banks. It reads, having a quarter of the world's oil reserves may mean never having to say you're sorry. Instead, when Washington reported in December that checks from the wife of the Saudi ambassador to the United States had been sent to two associates of the September 11th hijackers, Saudi and Washington officials revved up their spin machines. When the report surfaced, Haifa bint Faisal, wife of Saudi ambassador Bandar bin Sultan, acknowledged that she sent nearly $150,000 to the wife of a Saudi living in San Diego. The recipient, Majeda Ibrahim Dwaikat, signed over some of the checks to a friend whose husband, Omar al-Bayoumi, with Dwaikat's husband, helped hijackers Khalid al-Midar and Nawal al-Hazmi find housing in San Diego, open bank accounts, get social security cards, pay expenses, and arrange flying lessons in Florida. U.S. authorities suspected days after September 11th that al-Bayoumi, by then in Birmingham, England, helped the hijackers. The British arrested him and, in a search of his house, found phone records showing calls to the diplomats at the Saudi embassy in Washington. Lacking conclusive evidence, they released him and he is now believed to be back in Saudi Arabia. U.S. authorities continued to investigate his connections. FBI spokesman Ed Cogswell told In These Times that the Bureau had discovered that Bint Faisal money transfers had discovered the Bint Faisal money transfers when it examined al-Bayoumi's accounts. Records have included the check endorsed to al-Bayoumi's wife. Skipping down, but Bint Faisal insists she did not knowingly aid the terrorists, that she did not even know the woman, but was only giving charity to Dwaikat, a thyroid patient whose husband had written seeking funds to pay medical bills. Yet the revelation again raises questions about U.S. policy, which has consistently supported the Saudi monarchy in spite of its refusal to cooperate with the United States in investigations of terrorist attacks against Americans. The links between Bint Faisal's powerful Saudi family and financing of terrorism are even more extensive, however. The trails of both Omar al-Bouyami, the man who aided the hijackers, and that of the financial network of bin Faisal's family each lead to Osama bin Laden. According to a 1996 U.S. State Department report, Al-Shamal Islamic Bank in Khartoum, Sudan, was capitalized by bin Laden and wealthy members of Sudan's National Islamic Front. Bin Laden invested millions in that bank. Mohammed al-Faisal, bin Faisal's brother, is an investor and board member at Al-Shamal. Al-Shamal, that's a reference to the bank that's linked to the DMI, Al-Shamal appears to have been a bin Laden bank of choice. Al-Qaeda members had accounts in Al-Shamal, according to testimony during U.S. trials surrounding the 1998 attacks on American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. One Al-Qaeda collaborator, Assam El-Reedy, recounted how bin Laden transferred $230 million from Al-Shamal to a bank in Arizona to buy a plane to fly Stinger missiles from Pakistan to Sudan. One of the bank's three founding members and major shareholder is Saleh Abdullah Kamel. A major financial and media power in the Arab world, he is in addition the chairman of Dala al-Baraka, or DBG. Al-Bayoumi was assistant to the director of finance for Dala Avco, a DBG company that with the Saudi Aviation, a DBG company that worked with the Saudi Aviation Authority. The Wall Street Journal has reported that the United States believe that Dala al-Baraka Bank, another DBG company, was also used by Al-Qaeda. Mohammed al-Faisal is president of Dar al-Mal al-Islami, or DMI, the House of Finance of Islam. That Geneva-based bank is charged with distributing subsidies of the royal family in the Muslim world. DMI, founded in 1981 and with assets of an estimated $3.5 billion, also has connections to the bin Laden family. Its 12-member board of directors includes Haidar Mohammed bin Laden, Osama bin Laden's half-brother, and Khalid bin Mahfouz, whose sister Khaleda is one of Osama bin Laden's wives. Bin Mahfouz was indicted by the United States in the notorious BCCI scandal, which defrauded depositors of billions of dollars and in 1995 paid a $225 million fine. DMI and Al-Shamal are not the only banks that link Al-Faisal to Osama bin Laden. Al-Faisal's DMI is a major shareholder of Al-Taqwa, the bank registered in the Bahamas and based in Switzerland that was shut down last November after Washington blacklisted it as a centerpiece of bin Laden's financial network. The United States has not, however, blacklisted Al-Shamal. And that again from In These Times, an article by Lucy Commissar. Do note there again the presence of DMI and also the Al-Shamal Bank. We're going to conclude with this remarkable little story. Research credit on this to a listener. This is from the Arab News website, www.arabnews.com. This is from December 19th of 2002. Its headline, Brotherhood is Trying to Destabilize Saudi Arabia. It reads in part, Saudi Arabia has deported several members of the Muslim Brotherhood, parenthetically that is the parent organization of the aforementioned Al-Taqwa linked to the DMI, beginning again. Saudi Arabia has deported several members of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is trying to destabilize the kingdom, Interior Minister Prince Naif said in an interview published yesterday. Prince Naif told Arab Times that the group has been working to undermine the Saudi leadership. Quote, They have politicized Islam to serve their motives, and many of them exploited Islam as a cover to destabilize and disintegrate the nation, he told the Kuwait-based Daily. Saudi Arabia recently deported some movement members to their countries after they tried to harm the kingdom both secretly and openly, Prince Naif said. It was the second time in several weeks that Prince Naif has lashed out against the Muslim Brotherhood, which has branches across the Islamic world and advocates the creation of an Islamic state. He said last month, quote, All our problems come from the Muslim Brotherhood. We have given too much support to this group. The Muslim Brotherhood has destroyed the Arab world. Among the Muslim Brotherhood's branches are Jordan's main parliamentary opposition group, the Islamic Action Front, and Hamas. And for the record, 343, by the way, we detailed some of the history of the Muslim Brotherhood and its links to Osama bin Laden and the milieu of al-Qaeda, among other things. Desert Flowers, The Bushes of Arabia, being recorded on December 22nd of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.